Chapter 33 Siegfried came away from the telephone. His face was expressionless.
That was Mrs. Pumphrey. She wants you to see her pig.
Peak, you mean? I said.
No, pig.
She has a 6-week-old pig she wants you to examine for soundness. I laughed sheepishly. My relations with the elderly widow's pig was a touchy subject.
All right, don't start again. What did she really want? Is Tricky Woo's bottom playing up again?
James, said Siegfried gravely, it is unlike you to doubt my word in this way. I will repeat the message from Mrs. Pumphrey, and then I shall expect you to act upon it immediately and without further question. The lady informed me that she has become the owner of a 6-week-old piglet, and she wants the animal thoroughly vetted. You know how I feel about these examinations, and I don't want the job scamped in any way. I should pay particular attention to its wind. Have it well galloped round a paddock before you get your stethoscope on it, and for heaven's sake don't miss anything obvious like curbs or ringbones.
I think I'd take its height while you're about it. You'll find the measuring stick in...
His words trailed on as I hurried down the passage. This was a bit baffling. I usually had a bit of leg-pulling to stand ever since I became Tricky the Peak's adopted uncle, and received regular presents, and letters, and signed photographs from him. But Siegfried wasn't in the habit of flogging the joke to this extent. The idea of Mrs. Pumphrey with a pig was unthinkable. There was no room in her elegant establishment for livestock. Oh, he must have got it wrong somehow. But he hadn't. Mrs. Pumphrey received me with a joyful cry.
Oh, Mr. Herriot, isn't it wonderful? I have the most darling little pig. I was visiting some cousins who are farmers, and I picked him out. He will be such company for Tricky. You know how I worry about his being an only dog.
I shook my head vigorously in bewilderment as I crossed the oak-panelled hall. My visits here were usually associated with a degree of fantasy, but I was beginning to feel out of my depth.
You mean you actually have this pig in the house? But of course!
Mrs. Pumphrey looked surprised.
He's in the kitchen. Come and see him.
I had been in this kitchen a few times, and had been almost awestruck by its shining spotlessness. The laboratory look of the tiled floors and walls, the gleaming surfaces of sink unit, cooker, refrigerator. Today, a cardboard box occupied one corner, and inside I could see a tiny pig. Standing on his hind legs, his forefeet resting on the rim, he was looking round him appreciatively at his new surroundings. The elderly cook had her back to us, and did not look round when we entered. She was chopping carrots and hurling them into a saucepan, with, I thought, unnecessary vigour.
"Isn't he adorable?"
Mrs. Pumphrey bent over and tickled the little head.
"It's so exciting having a pig of my very own. Mr. Herriot, I have decided to call him... Nugent."
I swallowed. Nugent. The cook's broad back froze into immobility.
"Yes, after my great uncle Nugent. He was a little pink man with tiny eyes and a snub nose. The resemblance is striking."
"I see," I said. And the cook started her splashing again. For a few moments I was at a loss. The ethical professional man in me rebelled at the absurdity of examining this obviously healthy little creature. In fact, I was on the point of saying that he looked perfectly all right to me when Mrs. Pumphrey spoke.
"Come now, Nugent," she said. "You must be a good boy and let your Uncle Herriot look at you."
That did it. Stifling my inner feelings, I seized the string-like tail and held Nugent almost upside down as I took his temperature. I then solemnly auscultated his heart and lungs, peered into his eyes, ran my fingers over his limbs, and flexed his joints. The cook's back radiated stiff disapproval, but I carried on doggedly. Having a canine nephew, I had found, carried incalculable advantages. It wasn't only the frequent gifts, and I could still taste the glorious kippers Tricky had posted to me from Whitby. It was the vein of softness in my rough life, the sherry before lunch, the warmth and luxury of Mrs. Pumphrey's fireside. The way I saw it, if a piggy nephew of the same type had been thrown in my path,
then Uncle Harriet was going to be the last man to interfere with the inscrutable workings of fate. The examination over, I turned to Mrs. Pumphrey, who was anxiously awaiting the verdict. "Sound in all respects," I said briskly. "In fact, you've got a very fine pig there. But there is just one thing. He can't live in the house." For the first time, the cook turned towards me, and I read a mute appeal in her face. I could sympathize with her, because the excretions of the pig are peculiarly volatile, and even such a minute specimen as Nugent had already added his own faint pungency to the atmosphere in the kitchen. Mrs. Pumphrey was appalled at the idea at first, but when I assured her that he wouldn't catch pneumonia, and in fact would be happier and healthier outside, she gave way. An agricultural joiner was employed to build a palatial sty in a corner of the garden. It had a warm sleeping apartment on raised boards, and an outside run. I saw Nugent installed in it, curled up blissfully in a bed of clean straw. His trough was filled twice daily with the best meal, and he was never short of an extra tidbit, such as a juicy carrot or some cabbage leaves. Every day he was allowed out to play and spent a boisterous hour frisking round the garden with Tricky. In short, Nugent had it made. But it couldn't have happened to a nicer pig, because though most of his species have an unsuspected strain of friendliness, this was developed in Nugent to an extraordinary degree. He just liked people, and over the next months, his character flowered under the constant personal contact with humans.